My name is Thomas Tolliver. I have a wife named Phyllis, which I'm blessed. I have 7 kids and 30 grandkids, 20 of them are girls. But I'm so pleased and thankful and blessed that every one of my children work. They all been good kids. Of course, I'm a Christian. That don't mean I take the hammer and beat the out of everybody. I try to use their principles. And I am so grateful and so thankful the way all my 7 kids and 30 grandkids have turned out. So for the past 30 years, I've been going into the prisons. I'm trying to duplicate these people like I did my family, you know. So after 30 years in a prison, and about 15 years ago, a thought came to me. These people got children. So something has to be done. So through a lot of meditation and praying, I came up with this. I established an organization called Family, Youth, and the Development Service, Men and Children of Prisoners. And this is how the gardens really began. One day, my wife and I had them over to dinner. The kids are prisoners, about 4 of them. And casually, she asked one of the children, "Do you know where these green beans came from?" And there were other people there, and they said Kroger's. And everybody laughed but us. I found that was very pitiful to know that we have kids that didn't know how food was produced that they ate. So the very next day, I went out and began to look for land that I could start a garden. So the very next day, I started the process. I found a piece of property that I showed you as we were coming in on the corner of 6th Avenue and Patrick Street. I started, and, you know, I appreciate being ignorant. Everybody helps me. So I just didn't know where to start from. So I thought about I could build my own beds. It would be very simple and no money. So I asked around about beds. I wanted a 4x8 bed. And by asking, I don't know anything about mats or carpentry, but I began to ask. So I came up with making beds. I would buy a 2x8x10 board, 3 of them, split them in two, and make a perfect 4x8 bed. Then that's where I started over on that garden I showed. So I began to like it. And then I went to a place and I got some very good rich dirt, and that was the start off of that. So that was the beginning of my started off with a community garden, but there's a lot into community garden. But after staying over there for about 6 years, I began to inquire about other property in the area, and this piece of property came here. I don't know how, it's quite a few acres. I don't know how many it is. So Charleston Urban Renewal let me have this property here. And so in the progression of time is that this is where I'm at right now. But I know you won't be able to see these, but I like to show you these pictures to show some of the results of my garden. The first case I had was...
Do you have a... If you have to take a call or get a text or anything...
No, this is more important.
Oh, okay. Is there a way to put that on...
Yes, I will. I'll put it on hush. Okay, there it is.
Cool. Okay. So you have a photo album here want to share?
Yeah, the reason I want to show it to you, because it's very important. The very first case that I had, I told you that organization, the Men and Children of Prisoners. And the very first case I had, it was the scariest thing I ever heard of. I've been in the military. I've been all over the world. But this lady, this family that I ran into, I thought she was just a young girl. And I talked to everybody. Well, we began to establish. I told her what I do. She said, "Would you help me?" I said, "I'd be glad to help you." She says, "My husband's in federal prison." I said, "Husband?" And this young lady ended up with 4 children. So I began to these are the kids I told you didn't know about gardening. So I began to work with this one family. And I ain't going to mention this organization, but I was more scared of them than ISIS, Klan, anything when I began to look into it. So I didn't know after working with this lady for about 5 years, and I wondered why she kept moving. The feds were after her, and they picked her up, and they picked her up and was going to send her right to Atlanta for a trial. And I pleaded and begged and stretched and begged them to let her have these children to get things in order. It took a lot of praying and begging for the judge to let them. So she let us stay out a year, but she was definitely headed to prison. So here we got now. We got a lady, 4 children. The husband's already in prison. Now, at this point that we begin at is that she's in the Alderson. They pick her up after a year. They send her to Alderson. She married another guy, which was a real nice fellow. His name, he took them in as a housing. But my wife, basically, and I had to really look after them. We had a girl, a real nice, pretty girl. I'll show you her. And three boys I got to deal with. So this is where we're going to start with. I can show you these pictures. Here they are, the young kids that I took over. Here's this lady right here in Alston Prison with all her four kids, all these. And here they are right here in a federal prison. So I take them up months a month to visit them while she's in prison. I'll show you this lady. Here they are in there. They're being to grow up now. And now, there they are. Okay. The reason I'm going to cut this to the chase is because the end of this story of this one particular family turned out real good. And now this lady had 10 years in prison, and a lawyer who was representing her, we begged him to let her out. So in 6 years, she got out. And she had a struggle getting out, getting a job. So we still working and crying with the system to get her a job. They get her a job after she gets out. Here are the children now. They're grown. There's a little story about them. And this little girl here, her daughter who's in college, she made this statement, inmates have kids and family. It affects them too, talking about people incarcerated. So she's at WVU. He was at WVU. He's at Marshall now. Fine kid. I mean, I'm telling you, they all turned out to be real good kids. I mean, excellent kids. And here he is now, and I told him I'd still knock the devil out if you become a fool. But they turned out, and so that just inspired me not to give up. This family turned, I mean, you're talking about adverse circumstances that these kids came through, but look how happy they are now. Here they are now on the garden. This is them on this new garden, and we explaining to them what that little bug was. That's on this garden right here. That's why I say this story is so great. But this family, in fact, I ended up, there she is. She looks like a kid, but she's not. But she ended up, we got her a good job. She's in Morgantown now. Her job got so good, she learned beautician in prison. Now she has a beauty shop in Morgantown. I mean, she is a lady you ought to interview, too, at one time. Okay, that's just a brief synopsis of the first, that what I do is mentor children of prisoners. Okay, so now let me switch gears on you. When I moved up here on this garden here, it really is sort of a progression of things, children. Now, it was so many street and homeless people come up here, I said, whoa, I'm going to have to extend this thing a little bit. So from children of prisoners, now I'm getting deep involved with homeless people, street people, and I'm dealing with some people out of recovery, people who've been on drugs. Here they are. They picked a bunch of food off the garden. I took that to them. By the way, I should have showed you that was the original farm right there that I showed you. But back here to these people here is that I pick up the food now that I grow. When they help me, I take it to recovery. Now, what I was telling you, it's very easy to see. See these beds along here? These beds here? Those are 4 by 12 beds. These are what you call container gardens, okay? The 4 by 8 beds is a cutoff point from there. From there over to that, what they call High Tunnel, is West Virginia State. Now, I do not want them, we collaborate, we work together, but I have to be careful. I don't want to mix mine with theirs because they probably wouldn't be interested in some real, if you stay here long enough, you'll see, they'll show up. They're probably not interested in the people that I work with. So I keep it totally separate. What I'm begging for right now is to get me a fence in here so I can control it. The street people come in and homeless, and sometimes they'll lay in the needles. To avoid getting any animosity to them, I let them do that. But what I want to do is get it under control. It's worked real good. Not only have I worked with this family, they turned out good, but there are several people in recovery that I've dealt with. And my I told you the whole thing behind this. I'm so thankful the way I turned out that in my family. Now what I try to do, what I've done with my family, can I do this with the neighbor, with the homeless and street people? Can I do that with them? It's worked out some wills. And so at this point right now, I'm trying to fence my place in, not to keep them out. Well, yeah, to keep the deer out, but I don't want them to feel like that. I'm going to tell them that I'm keeping the deer out, but I want them out so I can control my place. It's a lot of people come in. Sometimes I don't come in. And, you know, being an old, not a gangster, whatever, but being around people, I've learned something. This group of people right here, these people right here, it was a bunch of them. I just had to cut this short, but these people right here was a bunch of them. They're in recovery. So when they came up to help me to do my farming, my sowing and growing and watering, it got hot, so I made them sit down in the circle, and I just shut up and listened to them. And as I began to listen to them, I said, well, maybe we can work with people like we did a computer, let them talk along. They write me, reboot themselves, and that happened. I watched that one little girl talk to herself. She is in recovery. She kept talking. We shut up. I said, now you realize your problem, you can work through it. And, you know, so I learned something. Just shut up and listen to people and let them know you have an ear. There's a possibility they can act like they can reboot, you know, begin to think, and the stories that they shared among each other. Boy, it was just a glorious time when they came up and worked with me. With a lot of street people, what I do is just listen to them and listen and listen. And when they think they got an ear, you'll reveal a whole lot more things that you'll get without preaching and beating on them. Just listen, you know. One fella, what caused you to get here? How can I help you to get out of where you are? And on it goes. So where I'm at right now is, I told you, from community garden to an urban farm. Now, West Virginia State's going to do some great work over here. They're going to bring people in, kids, and train them how to grow food, how to harvest it. That's one of the greatest things in Charleston. It's called a high tunnel. This side right here is totally separate because I'll control it. The police has been very good. I got their ear. And so if I really have problems, which I haven't, I'll ask the police. If it gets out of hand, there have been a few needles. There haven't been any this year, which has been very good. And so, I'll tell you what the police told me, too, and I didn't realize this. This area was heavily infested with drugs. I don't know if you can see that or not. The police told me in a meeting that, and this happened here, say this is heavily invested in drugs. Well, when something good comes in, they don't want all the good people around them, so they'll just move out. So a lot of this area, which was drug, because I'm here and West Virginia State's here, you know, and they don't harm us or nothing. They don't want to collaborate, you know, the good and the, so they move out. In one area I was in where I showed you, I began, the house next door, prior to me getting there, there had been murders there, the police was there, and when I came out, can I establish my first garden, they moved out. And that's what I learned. When you put in that good, they don't want to stay, they'll move out, and they'll give you very little bit of, you know, problems. But I would like to say, where I'm at right now, I don't know, I feel like I'm bragging, but I've had, my mouth has carried me all over the world. I've been in Africa, Lagos, Nigeria, Kenya, Africa, people taking me there. I've been in Gießen, Dachau, Berlin. I've been there, people visiting. I've been in Oslo Way. I've been in Toronto, Canada, on and on it's been. But then when I come back to America and see these people on bicycles and backpack, there's something wrong with this picture. And it seems like not too many people are talking about it, or they have a great concern. Yeah, there are drugs and everything else, but if you'll stay here long enough, you'll get a glimpse of what I'm talking about. People, I don't know if they lost sensitivity about how important it is to work, but they're on bikes and backpacks. And most of the time in the backpack bag, guys, I see something they've taken somewhere. And so my big thing is what I was telling you early. If I go to court, all I say is that I'm trying to duplicate my family in the streets and with the homeless. I went to court several times and I told them, the judge, if this person will turn out good as one of my bad kids or grandkids, I'll feel a great accomplishment. And I think that, you know, it's old cliche, we live in the best country of the world. We ought to be thankful. Well, if you're saying that, do something about it. Get out here and find out why these people out here. And like I said, I'm so thankful the way my family's turned out. I'm running into a little dilemma right now. This kid right here that I showed you, he's a grown kid now, but nicest kid you'd want to meet for what he came through. He went to WVU, had a little problem. He's playing for Marshall. But what happened about a year ago, he pulled in a school. The police stopped him, and police said they smelled marijuana. So they just was talking to him in the casual conversation. He told them he had a gun. And so he said it was under the seat. Well, if he would have had it, as we went to court, if he would have had it out on the seat, it wouldn't be considered a concealed weapon. So we went to court about it, his lawyer and the prosecutor. So we went through the little process. Of course, the prosecutor's familiar with what I'm doing, and you know, most of them in try to help me. Well, the prosecutor had a little trial with him and told him that if he would not, if he'd stay out of trouble for a year, they would drop the case. Well, we thought it was dropped. My lawyer called me 3 weeks ago and told me the judge picked it back up, you know, and I don't know who I'm going to get to, but I got to work. The worst thing in the world a person can have, even with a minor crime, either get that record expunged or erased, because you do know in this state, I don't know, but if you got a record, you can't go nowhere. You can't get no job. I've been through that once. Well, this is what's happening to this kid. And right now I'm waiting to meet with the judge to tell him what fine boy this kid turned out. He admitted he had the gun. And, of course, I'm not going to agree with anybody who's in crime, but this is a bad record. I don't know if it carries across the country or not. You know, not being able to get a record expunged or get erased. This is where I'm at right now. Oh, one other thing. I'm so thankful. I got a lot of people going to come in here next year and help me to grow my garden. There's my truck. I got my equipment in there, and that's my barn there.
You are going to...
You've said a lot there, Mr. Tolliver. Look at that. I don't think... I asked you one question. You've been talking for 18 minutes.
I know. That's why I shut up.
Here's what... Well, you've given me a lot to unpack one thing at a time. I kind of want
to
pick apart...
That's why I told you have to audit it, break it down to... Yeah. I know I gave you a smorgasbord of stuff to work.
You did. With. So let me ask you a couple of follow-up questions that will kind of zoom in on some different parts of your story and just sort of... There's the entire gardening part of your story that I want to get to with you more in just a few minutes. But first, let me have you rewind and just sort of tell the beginning of the story of how you got involved with working with people who are incarcerated. Like, okay. Just from the beginning, how'd you get interested in doing that?
Actually, I've been going into prisons about 30 years. Other people may go to preach. I go to mentor. And so as I mentor the men, I was telling you, that thought came to these people, men and women, they got children on the outside. And who's going to take care of them? You know, who's going to treat them like a parent? Somebody might take them. So that's actually how it started, with working with men and women in prison. And then I began to realize they had children. What can I do? So the simplest thing I thought I could do after I found out they did not know how food came is to start a garden. It's very simple. But as I was telling you, this is where I progressed from a community garden to an urban farm.
So I'm going to pause you there. Go back even further and just explain to me, like, what first got you interested in? Was it someone that you knew who went to prison, or how is it that you found your way to the prison system as a mentor?
Well, you might, if you really want to go way back, which I didn't. I came up in South Hills. It was a very elite place, and my daddy, he only knew two words, GW. It wasn't George Washington. It was God and work. As a boy, about 13 or 14, I passed newspapers. I plowed with a horse. Most black people in that area was farmers because they had to live off the land. So that is really the beginning of my knowledge of growing food for the way I came up. And so in the progression of time, I never thought I would get back into it. After entering college in the military and coming back and working in the community, I never did think I'd be doing this. Actually, I tried community garden, but there's a lot of technical things in a community garden. If you'd want to see a community garden, a good example is one, the 13th Street Garden in Washington, D.C. It's where the community comes together and everybody buys a plot. But I felt like it was too much to do, so I just wanted a garden. It's a good place to camaraderie with people.
Now, the garden... The event, it sounds like, that really inspired you to go out and, like, make a garden bed and get the soil was that dinner with those kids.
Right.
So let me just to get the chronology clear. So, again, the point, just sort of explain maybe the first time when you went to a prison. Why, I mean, how'd you hear about the idea that you could be a mentor in prisons? What was it like the first day you showed up?
Well, let me see, more than 30 years. A church I went into, they started a prison. When they left, I kept going. In fact, I'm still going. I go every first Tuesday of every month. And to hear the stories how men cry about their children, you know, and you know, it's a shame they wait till they get to prison to realize, look, I got pet children back there. Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to take care of them like I would take care of them? So it's kind of hard to communicate that to them because of the restrictions, but I let them know, if you tell me who they are and where they are, that's the only way I can deal with you. I'll follow up with them.
So you were going about your life after your military service, and as part of your church group, mm-hmm. you heard about this mentoring program where you could go to prisons
and work with
guys.
Actually, it started, it wasn't really a mentor group. It was preachers going... You know, people have heard enough preaching. They want some examples. And so I tried by example to mentor people and be very honest with them. I haven't always been a good guy. On and on I go, and I don't brag about my past, but I tell them that if you can make it, I know you. If I have made it, I know you can. That's what I tell the prisoners. But you would be amazed at the prisoners who are concerned about their children. And you know what I try to tell them and encourage them? The best thing you can do when you get out, you be a mentor to them and tell them that you don't want to come to this place. And that's the first thing, especially a lot of prisoners who have children, that's one of their major concerns.
Along the way, you met a mom and her four kids.
Right.
And the dad was in prison.
Right, right. I don't even want to name the group that he was connected to, but it was, you'd probably heard of it, but it was the worst organization I had ever heard of. And it was a very dangerous organization. And something she was in that, I don't know what part she played in it, but it must have been a divine intervention. What happened? I go, and you see, I know everybody. Well, what happened, the way I met her is I finished West Virginia State, and I was down there on some business, and she was in this little cafeteria. My wife allows me to look at the menu. I just can't order nothing off of it. So I started talking to this. I thought she was a little young girl. You see, here she is right here. She looks young, but she's not. And I started this conversation with her, and I started this, and I had just started, it's called Family Youth and Development Service, Men and Children of Prison. I had just started about, and then that's when she asked me to help her.
Her husband was in prison criminal gang activity.
Right, right.
She had these four kids. You invited them over to your house for dinner.
Well, this is after I began to establish camaraderie with her. She didn't tell me, maybe she's too, but I used to have an office there on the boulevard, and I had a call one day, and she comes and says, Paw, she stumbled, says, the feds are after me. I said, don't play with me, it's too early. I said, I hung up on it. The feds called me back, said, this girl's going to prison. So we had a little court and on what, but anyway, they spared her for a year to get her business right, and they gave her 12 years in. After much crying and going on, she got out, and she's doing extremely well. And this little girl here, she's a junior now at WBU. She's going to finish, and he's at Marshall.
So
all this came out of the garden.
So the mom ended up getting put away as well for her involvement in whatever auxiliary way.
I'm left with four kids. Here they are. And she's in Alderson prison.
So when The feds locked up the mom. You took it upon yourself to bring these four kids into your own home.
Actually, she had married a man who had a house, but he worked all the time. Good, excellent guy. So in collaborating, we made sure that, you know, if they didn't have food, they had to be tended in school. I'd go to the school and look after them. Whatever they need as a parent, my wife and I would fulfill that. Of course, their stepdad was a good guy, too, but he probably hadn't been used to children like we were because we had so many. It really worked out real, real good for him. But if you know what these kids came through, they're miracle children. Can you imagine a mother and father in prison and nobody? So I feel so blessed that I was able to help him. Well, he's a grown man now, and he'll be playing for Marshall.
Those kids inspired you to create a garden.
Right. By me collaborating with them and having a success story, it just inspired me to keep going. You know, this, it was a progression from men and children of prisoners to an urban farm. Now I can do both. I can mentor children of prisoners. I can collaborate with the street and the homeless people.
You had 7 kids of your own, 30 grandkids.
Right. And they're all doing well.
And then you brought these four other kids into the fold of your family,
too. If you get to know me, you'll find I'm a little crazy, so don't tell her. She has to be here all the time. But I had a son to go to prison twice, jail in Texas, so I went down. I said, son, I'll make a deal with you. If you go one more time, I'll pay that they keep you. I said, you know your dad's crazy. I will pay for them to keep you in prison. He knows I was crazy. He knew I'd do it. He got his act. In fact, I have a step, too. My only two kids that went to prison was my stepson and my biological son. You know what they are now? Guards in prison. And they make excellent because they've been there, and they're able to tell the story how I treated them. And so, like I told you, I am so thankful the way all my kids turned out. So, once again, if I can work with kids and adults just to make them like my family, I'd be happy. But I know you want to talk about the garden, but I can't talk about the garden without talking about the people that I work with.
So you sat down at your dinner table with these four kids one night.
Right.
You served them green beans. Tell me.
It was really three. We had green beans, potatoes, and chicken, our favorite. And so casually, I don't know if my wife is, she said, you know where these green beans came from? And they was very serious. They said, Kroger's. They are not the only kids that's giving me answers. So since that time, there have been other people educating children about agriculture, you know. But that particular instance there just blew my mind because I came up, you know, off of a garden. And so so I took this family and made them an example. And like I said, I'm so thankful the way these kids are doing. That encouraged me never to give up on them.
So you started with a little garden plot. You made a couple of garden beds. And then that's grown into
this urban farm. Here it is. There it is right there. It's these are 4x8 beds, loading them up with dirt. That's area over there where I showed you. Like I said, I'm amazed. It's a little cold, but I'm amazed somebody didn't see us up there and come up and collaborate with us. But, you know, I've had excellent help. My big thing right now, I'm praying and begging to fence in to keep out the deer, but the people too. But I don't want them to know that. I don't want to establish bad relations. So I really need it. The deer really ate up my place last year. Yeah.
Tell me more about what it was like for those kids to participate with you in creating that garden.
Well, I tell you what, a lot of funny things to do. I had to go to school and get them, take them to the doctor and everything. And it was really acting up in the car. And one of the kids said, stop, Roger, you know he's old. You know, they were just funny kids. And there was a little problem for a while, but in the progression of time, when they saw they had my interest, they turned out to be good kids. And it was rough, but I enjoy it. I mean, I see the results of investing in them. I see where they are now. I still keep up with them.
What was it like to work in the garden with them?
Oh, they found it fascinating. This is her, when she's grown, she's come back. We picked this bug off a plant. But this is, they was at this stage here. See how small they are?
These kids look like they were in about middle school when you had them.
Well, let's see, I think they was in about the third or fourth grade, yeah. But just hung in there with them. But there they are with their mother at Alderson Prison, and they're all doing good.
They're all grown now.
Yeah, all grown, yeah. I told this one here, maybe I shouldn't say it on the radio. I told him I'll still knock the H out of you. But I'm so amazed that, you know, they could easily fell in with the wrong crowd of children, the wrong adults, had them on drugs. I know that, you know, and I'm so thankful. And I'm 86, and I'm going to do this until I croak over, because I am so thankful the way my kids turned out. And as I shared with you, if I go to court, I tell them, they'll turn out good as my worst kid, I feel a great accomplishment. But like I was telling you earlier, I know I talk so much, you're really going to have to. But what I was telling you, from the garden, from the community garden, this is a progression of it. And this is where I've settled, from a community garden to an urban farm. Now, the community garden was sort of exclusive, you know, had to certain people. But here, this is inclusive. Anybody who wants to come in and join with me, they can.
And the people who come here are just people from around the neighborhood? They're people from drug recovery groups, homeless people?
Right, right. And some of them, a lot of them don't want money. Sometimes I've dealt with people, they just want somebody to sit down and collaborate with. That's what I do, you know. But my big thing with my farm, you know, what I sort of made my motto with people who don't work is so grow and eat, you know. Sow your food, grow it, and eat, you know. And maybe you won't have to go to the welfare office, and I have no problem with that. Only thing I said, none of my family, none of them had to go. But if we can just encourage people to do that. And like I said, it's farming. It can be fun and then to watch stuff grow and then eat it. It amazes a lot of children too, you know, even adults.
Has your life turned out the way you imagined it would?
Man, you asked me a question. It was rough for a while, I will tell you. I'd been through heck and high water. I was so far down at one time I had to jump up to sea bottom. I was losing my house, my job, my family, my dog. But things just turned out, as I became a Christian, things turned around. And, you know, like I said, I can share my life with other people and tell them that if I can do it, you can make it. And I told you earlier, I'd spent 25 years in college trying to crowd in four, but I made it. Yeah. And I'm 86. I've never been out of a job in my life. To show you how I might be a little weak in the mind, I had a job for 24 years. The first 3 months, I couldn't spell the name of the job. I worked for AEP.
And you couldn't spell the name?
I couldn't spell the name of the job I had, but that's all right. I made it. The little dilemma I'm in right now, though, no, it's not a dilemma. I'm going to fight for this kid. I told you that he was caught with a gun. One of the kids, he was one of the main kids that worked with me in my garden, is that everybody's showing me favor, and I just hope I've all written a judge a letter, the lawyers with me, but I've talked to several people. That's a strange law that you can't, if you get a crime, even a minor crime, and you can't get it expunged, you can't do nothing. If you have a crime, and you committed it, and if you don't get it expunged, man, it's heck and high water. That's where I'm at now.
Let me ask you one or two more questions just about you. How do you think this garden project has changed you as a person?
It makes me, as I see people come in and they develop to be good people, even people who go on drugs and recover, it gives me hope that if we can collaborate with people and not cast them aside, I sort of look at my family like, you know, like you take a picture, and in the old they had to go through a development stage, that this is a picture that I've taken. It's going to take a lot of development to get a true picture, you know what I mean? It has to go through a development stage. And in the old method of development, you know, you had to put it through acid, yeah, but oh, I don't know the new techniques now, but it's sort of like a picture, and I got to develop it, what it takes to develop. What does it take to develop to make people better people? One of the methods that I said I'm using is gardening, to show them that you don't have to, you can. In fact, when I came up, when I came, wasn't no such thing as welfare, it was workfare. Everybody worked, they had to. And I guess some of that old thinking is with me when I began to work and deal with people in gardening. Now, West Virginia State's going to do a great job here with what they're doing, but it's totally different. And see, they got theirs fenced in. That's why I want mine fenced in. That's what I'm working on, is to control the deer, and I want to be able to control the people that come in here.
One more question for you.
Sure.
I like that metaphor of a picture developing. The way, when you think about the way people change, it's also interesting to think about, I get the metaphor of a garden. I mean, talk about what you can learn about the way people grow by the way a garden grows.
Well, yeah, I tell you what you can do. It will make you think about people. And, you know, some kids have learned that a tomato is a fruit, you know. Okay, if you notice that a tomato rottens from the inside out, so when you deal with people, you better deal with the inside so you can develop the outside. So if that's the case with a tomato, then we're seeing people rotten from the inside. So let's deal with that. And in a progression of time, maybe they'll develop better. I mean, you've been around and you've seen this. I tell you what you might like. There's what gave me the vision of a garden, not only with these kids who did not know, but I'd done some research and I seen a garden in D.C. It was called 13th Street Garden.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, the way they developed that and what it did, the whole neighborhood, they collaborate and made a beautiful neighborhood. But it wouldn't work here too much because, it would work, but it would take a whole lot more time. It would take more people. It would take a lot of interviewing. So urban, like I told you, the community garden was exclusive. This is inclusive. Anybody who wants to come.
What do you think it is about you, your personality, that brings people to you? We were at your house.
Yeah.
You've got cats that are surrounding your house. They all like you. Kids surround your house. They all like you. What's that all about?
Because, you know, I learned early to accept people for who they are. You know, people get on this race, this year, I tell them, if God ain't solved it, don't ask me to do it. So just don't bring it up to me. There's always going to find people reason to hate you. Of something that it's an end. So I don't even get into that. Like I told you, I don't get involved with race, religion, politics, sex, bad attitude, and ain't nothing left. I just don't have time for it. You'd be amazed though if you'd see that even the kids. My wife's like just like I am. We learn to accept them all. And like I said, I can't keep the cats from them. They'll see my car a block away and come and meet me.
I always consider everybody that I get to meet and have these conversations with to be my teacher for the day. Do you have some words of wisdom you want to leave me with about life?
I don't know. You may not fully accept my beliefs, but I'm my way. A lady came out and she had against no God and all that. And so, Miss, I said, I just want you to think of this. Everything it was made had a manual with it. Am I right? A car, automobile. Do you think a person was made and not a manual to go with it? So everything I use, I seen my daddy was, according to, was ignorant, but he was so wise. He used biblical principles, and when he made he used that guidebook all the way. I mean, everything you want to know is in the Bible. And I found out it works for me and the people I deal with. Maybe as a Christian, maybe Buddha, Muhammad, may better work for you, but I know what works for me, you know. And I've used that, like I told you, I use the Bible as a guide, as a manual to get people on track, to get their views and views with the God who made you, you know. So that lady was stunned. I said, if you got brake trouble in your car, you go to your manual and find out what I do. I said, well, God got the Bible. If you got problems, you go in there and find out what your problem and adjust it with what it says in the manual, and it'll work. And I believe that.
Your spiritual principles really seem to manifest themselves in the world, though, in good works, right, in the things that you do, in your actions.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You do not work to become a Christian. You become a Christian, and then you work. If you do works to become a Christian, then that makes you God, you know. But you become a Christian to do good works. And I think a lot of young people have seen old people sort of hypocrites, you know. They say they're Christian, but then they hate Jews, hate black people, or they hate white people, vice versa. They got so many stumbling blocks, and yet they call themselves Christians. Well, the young people, they are authentic. They want to see something real. And I try to present that to young and old people, you know. You don't have to believe the way I'm doing. I'm just telling you what works for me, and it has worked for me. And turned out 7 kids and 30 grandkids. And if you get to know me, you know I got a little clown in them. All my kids are like that, real good kids, and I thank God for that. And That's all I have to offer. And the people that I work here with on the garden, street people, I mean, some real rough people, and I just sit down and collaborate with them, let them blow off, and some turn out good, some don't.
86 years old.
Yes.
You could be relaxing in an easy chair with your feet up, reading the paper, watching TV, reading books. I mean, I mean, this has got to be exhausting, but it's obviously worthwhile.
Okay, let me tell you my new adventure. I'm out here on my garden. I begin to work with people. And I question, where'd you go to school? Some of them go to very nice schools, which one is very easy. It's George Washington, Capitol. The elementary school is, one of the elementary schools is Mary Snow. And I'm dealing with people up here, been to those schools. My new adventure is, oh, no. I'm starting at the top. I'm going to the bottom. So now I go into one of the elementary schools as a mentor. I'm trying to figure out where will these kids end up if we don't get them at the bottom. So that's where I'm at. 2 to 3 days a week, I go into the elementary school mentor. I begin to learn that new math, thank God. But it's just something different, you know. I think if we all, with good sense, if we don't control this drug culture, that's why what nations push them in here, and that's the way this nation can be destroyed, but it can destroy, you know, from drugs in here, and who's going to fight our wars? Everybody on drugs, so that has some of my concern. But I said early, right now I'm doing mentor. Two to three days a week in a high school, in an elementary school.
You give a lot to other people. What do you get out of it? What motivates you to do it?
How well things turned out for me, you know. A lot of my friends, I hate to say it, that went away from here, had good jobs, either they're on drugs or in a nursing home, or a lot of them in caskets, you know. I walk funny. I'm trying to figure out why, but I enjoy it. If it gets over a burden, I'll just take up and leave. I left this weekend during a Veterans Day to Charlotte to visit my granddaughter. That, you know, that relaxed me. It prepares me to get ready for the next event. Right now, I'm collaborating with people. We're trying to establish. Thank goodness I got some people going to do most of my garden for me next year.
We've been in here for a while.
Hope you sure can know how to, how you do that. She hasn't said anything.
Well, let me ask, actually, is there anything you want to cover, or do you feel like gaps in the story you've been listening that we need to maybe?
Well, one short question. You say the word collaborate a lot, and that seems to mean something special to you, talking to people, collaborating, just working with them. Could you talk about what that means?
Collaborating to me means that you know the situation, but you want to hear other people say it, and you want them to do all the talking, and you do all the listening. Then I can collaborate with them to see. Collaborate means, you know, join together and be in one accord. And right now I'm at the point of that a lot of people are that, what got you to the streets? Or what may, so what can we do to help you to get out of it? One of the major things, I know I'm getting off balance right now, but one of the things that I'm highly concerned with, a lot of people that I work with out here have records. They can't get driver's license. They owe child support. A lot of people. I mean, I dealt with a man. He's a hard worker. And I don't know. I know eventually they're going to try to do something to accommodate that. But a lot of people, I'm working with a guy right now. It's what I hope I'm answering your question is that we got to do something. We got to put people back to work. That's step one. And I'm using the garden to do that. But, and when I say collaborate with, it's to let people know that I'm here for them. I'd like to talk to you. What are you thinking about? How can I help? I give you everything but money. I can give you food. So I don't like to say to a degree, collaborate. I mean, I sort of can identify with your problems and we can talk about them. I'm surprised the fellow hasn't shown up up here already, but it's a little cold for him. But he found out that I could do that. I've helped him, and it's a neighbor fellow here.
And then before the recorder was on, you started to talk about growing up gardening and the importance of that for your community and your family.
Okay. I asked you if you were familiar with South Hills, and you said yes. If you would go up South Hills, make a left at the fire department, that's Walnut, make another left, that's Newton Road. It was sort of like a plantation. My daddy done the garden and the chauffeur there, and my mother was sort of like the maid. It was a huge, big place up there. And I watched, I got some of my knowledge from the people who my daddy worked for about gardening. They put highly emphasis on food. And so I really learned gardening in an early age in my life without getting technical like they are now with gardening. But I grew up, my dad grew up growing gardening, so we would have adequate food to eat.
And you grew up plowing with a horse.
You're plowing with a horse. And if some people who might hear this, they might know that, well, that what I'm talking about, know what woe and gee and haul means. That's what used to have a horse. One of the better gifts as I was coming up plowing with a horse, you may not be, but there was a tractor called a Gravely tractor. In fact, I still got one. After my horse days, I had a tractor. I plowed with that tractor until all the way through high school until I got ready to go to college. In fact, I still have a Gravely tractor. And, you know, I some people may have felt like if they knew my, if it might have been bad. No, I enjoyed my coming up. It was a little rough passing papers at 3 and 4 o'clock, but I passed papers all over South Hills, newspapers. As I look back, you know, that were things like that what has sustained me and helps me to help other people. Like I said, I tell people, if I've made it, you can make it, right? Without me going into too many details. So I go on that basis of people dealing with, I think about what I came through and they can too, even my military, my college experience, my street experience. So if I can make it, you can make it.